October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. While it's certainly important to place a focus on this darkness that invades women's lives, it's also vital to realize that domestic violence takes place every day of the year in New Jersey as well as nationwide. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, a woman is beaten or assaulted every 9 seconds in America. So that means in the time it took me to say what I've said up to this point, 3 women have been beaten. Our next guest is here to delve into this issue of domestic violence and what victims need to overcome it. She is the president and CEO of Jersey Battered Women's Services in Morristown, New Jersey, Diane Williams. How are you today, Diane?
Good morning, Chris. Thanks so much for having my call.
And the website for learn more about the services that Jersey Battered Women's Services does provide. Again, they're based in Morristown, New Jersey, jbws.org. When you think of someone who has had domestic violence perpetrated against them, who is that person right now?
You know, it's interesting. I think that actually is a long-time myth that we have this vision of what a domestic violence victim looks like, and it's so far from what I think, you know, the common belief is. It really crosses all economic lines. It crosses all genders, all, you know, nationalities. It's not a women's issue, which was once believed. It's an everyone issue. So it looks like you and me. You know, it could be a man, it could be a woman. It's affecting all of us.
Well, as far as what that individual's had this weight dropped on them, what have they had taken away from them?
So when you're thinking about what they had taken away from them, the thing that you think of first is control. So abuse and domestic violence is really a pattern of behavior that its intent is to have control over someone else. And so the biggest primary loss that they have is that control, freedom, independence.
Maybe I went the wrong way with that word, too, as far as taking, because I've always theorized that an abuser is much like a kidnapper. They want to manipulate and to enslave and to cut off and to do everything they do. And to be successful at it, they need to do it without being detected, obviously, much like, you know, just like a kidnapper. You don't want to walk in the room and say, I'm going to, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, kidnap that person over there in the corner. How much of a manipulation takes place?
Oh, it's so much of it. And really, if you think about what the warning signs are of somebody who's in an abusive relationship, it really tells that story. You'll be seeing overly jealous and possessive behaviors, really somebody who needs to have control over the relationship. There's usually a lot of name-calling and put-downs. There's isolation from family and friends. And that could be coupled with physical roughness, threats, intimidation, just, you know, somebody who can't let go of a relationship. There is often excessive texting, always needing to keep tabs on someone. You know, there's just this basic, overwhelming need to control someone else.
And this doesn't happen between married couples. It can happen between people who are living together or people who are dating.
Absolutely. And, you know, this happens in all of our relationships that we can think about. The gay and lesbian and trans community is certainly victims of this as well as, you know, anyone else who's in that sort of a relationship could potentially be a victim. If we're looking at the statistics that were released by the CDC, we're looking at 1 in 3 women, 1 in 7 men, and 1 in 4 teens that are victims of domestic violence. And those statistics are just staggering.
Talking with Diane Williams, who's president and CEO of Jersey Battered Women's Services, jbws.org. The 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline is 1-877-RU-ABUSED, 1-877-782-2873. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Going back to the concept, the element of manipulation, how much does that fuel the assumption that people watching that relationship go into the point of, well, if it's that bad, why is that person still with them?
You know, I think that's another myth when we're talking about why someone stays. Most of the time, people stay, the predominant reason is around fear. But there are so many other reasons that someone might stay. I mean, if you think about it, there is a lot of financial implications. There's children that are involved. They may not have access to resources to be able to leave. I mean, at the point where somebody's considering leaving, they've already been isolated by their friends, their family members, their neighbors, so they don't feel like there's a lot of options for them. And we go back to that fear component, and that is, you know, a primary reason that people stay. You know, women are at most risk when they actually leave a relationship. And so many times, that's a huge reason why people stay.
I recall the stats. This is probably a couple of years ago by now. I haven't seen anything more recent. But here in New Jersey, it was estimated that almost three-quarters of domestic abuse court cases were dismissed primarily because of lack of evidence. But in the here and now, how sufficiently do laws in New Jersey serve victims of domestic violence?
You know, there's so many reasons why cases don't get through. A lot of the times, if there is the victim that's behind the charges being pressed, they will drop charges, they will drop restraining orders. And part of the reason is how cumbersome that process is, how it can be re-traumatizing, how long the process takes. And so really what the answer to that, one of the answers, is a concept called the Family Justice Center model. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we actually opened up a Family Justice Center in Morristown in 2016. And really it's almost like a one-stop shop for a victim or a friend of a victim who thinks that, you know, they're in an abusive relationship and they can walk into our doors and have access to 11 different agencies that will provide support for them through the process, whether it's a legal process, for counseling, for resources. There's legal advocacy that will help them through pressing charges, filing a restraining order. They can file a restraining order right on site at the Family Justice Center, and that's actually our first visible space where someone can just walk in off the street and say, you know, I think I'm in an unhealthy relationship or I'm in an abusive relationship and I need help. And that has really made such a difference in regard to helping somebody and supporting them through the process of filing a restraining order.
Especially since, by and large, when someone in an abusive relationship sees recovery or escape, that's the Grand Canyon in front of them. At least that's how they envision it. But with the services, that first step that you just described, you pretty much close that canyon to walk into maybe something more along the line of walking across the street.
Absolutely. You know, when they walk in the doors, they have access to the prosecutor's office, the sheriff's department, counseling services, sexual assault services, housing and emergency shelter, how to process a restraining order, legal advocacy services. And, you know, oftentimes they're going to have their children with them. And then they're going to have the assistance of either volunteers or staff that are going to be able to help provide support around taking care of that and, you know, watching their kids while they're going through the process and getting the support they need and really the support that their children often need, because being witness to domestic violence, they're victims as well.
And certainly counseling is one of the key points of the recovery. But as far as solidifying or rebuilding a foundation so that person can once again have a life that they can call their own as opposed to the imprisonment they've come out of, what are some of the most important early steps in that regard?
Okay, well, the first foremost thing all of the time is safety, right? So, you know, one of the first things when someone comes in the door is to really assess the level of risk that person is at. So that can happen on our 24/7 crisis line at our Family Justice Center. And then really assess whether somebody needs to come into our safe house where they can just have a safe space for them to start that recovery process. And a lot of it is about really trying to rebuild themselves emotionally, but also, too, there are so many needs that a family is going to have ongoing, because when you leave that sort of a situation and say you come into a safe house, you've left a lot of things behind, family and friends, and for children, it's schools. Sometimes when, you know, a victim comes in our doors, they may have not been in the workforce for a long period of time. So we're really helping to rebuild some of that for them, trying to get them back to a sense of normality. For some of the victims that are in our safe house, we do have a transitional living apartment center, and that's where they can stay for up to 2 years potentially to help rebuild some of that and get them to the place where they can be self-sufficient.
For you listening, if we're talking about you and you are trapped in that darkness, the trap has an escape hatch to it. And one of those escape hatches is the Jersey Battered Women's Services in Morristown, New Jersey. If you are not in Morris County or near Morristown, every county throughout the state has a similar to varying degrees organization. If you want to go to the public library and go do a Google search, you put in quotation marks, because that's what narrows the search on Google, domestic violence, and then another set of quotation marks, either the name of your town or your county. And this goes in New Jersey, and if you're listening on the stream in any other state as well, you will find what will come up in usually the first search result is the organization best able to serve you where exactly you are. And you'll learn more about their services. You're doing it at the public library. No one will see you. No one will tell on you. And you can take that first step, which, again, may seem like a canyon in front of you. But as you heard Diane say with what the Jersey Battered Women's Services offers as far as a course of action, protection, and reestablishment of your life, and other organizations do similar work, your escape is a lot closer and a lot more easier, believe it or not, than you imagine it to be, or as you've been made to imagine it as being. As far as a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hotline for Jersey Battered Women's Services, it's 1-877-RU-ABUSED, 1-877-782-2873, and 877-782-2873. The website, jbws.org. We've been speaking with the president, CEO of Jersey Battered Women's Services, Diane Williams. Diane, thank you for the path to restoration that you offer so many people, so many victims of domestic violence, through the work that you and your organization does. Thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris, for just showing that this community cares about the issue of domestic violence.